Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to be here. Okay, and I don't have any disclosures. I work for the National Center for Atmospheric Research, and the primary source of my funding comes from the National Science Foundation. So before I get going, in case I forget to mention this at the end, I just want people to take away some key points from this talk. First, the gas and particle emissions from forest fires across the western United States, which is where I'm going to be talking about today, are significant, and they can have really detrimental impacts on our air quality and ultimately on public health. Future estimates of wildfire risk and frequency across the western United States is expected to increase based on our climate scenarios and our current knowledge of our forest management practices and weather. And so there's questions about how that might impact future emissions, future air quality, and public health. And then finally, there's potential ways to maybe manage the issue that need to be investigated. I think this is really kind of an ongoing research topic, but I'll mention a few that I'm aware of. So what am I going to talk about today? I'll talk about fires, what is emitted, how they impact air quality, and what we expect is going to happen under future climate change. And so first, we'll talk about what's in fires. And I'm a chemist, so I had to put up some chemistry here. So I apologize. The point here is not, of course, to know all these different things. But the important thing is you see a big fire plume, it's not just one big thing. It's not just smoke particles that you see. There's a whole bunch of different gases emitted. You have some hazardous air pollutants, like benzene right here. You have things like ammonia, furans, which are other hazardous air pollutants. So the big point here is that it's not just one thing. There's also precursors to smog or ozone, something that's regulated. So if we look at all these things that are emitted from fires, volatile organic compounds, particulate matter, those are the particles in the air, carbon monoxide, et cetera, they're really important because they can impact public health. And because they impact public health, several of these air pollutants are regulated by the National Ambient Air Quality Standards that the EPA has. And so ambient concentrations of these pollutants, particles, carbon monoxide, nitrogen oxides, are regulated. Once an area goes above a standard set by the EPA, they have to do something to fix the problem, otherwise they lose their highway funding. In fact, I just heard that LA is in big trouble again over their fine particulate matter, and they have to come up with a new plan. So even though fires don't contribute all of the particulate matter or carbon monoxide or other air pollutants to the atmosphere, it's really important to know how much they do contribute. And that's really something that's under investigation. And that's what I do. We build computer models or computer simulations that try to predict what comes and what's emitted from fires. And we do this by combining a whole bunch of different data sets. I primarily use satellite data sets that tell me maybe when and where a fire is occurring, what type of landscape is burning, how dense that landscape is, and then emission factors. We have a lot of measurements that we take in laboratories, in field studies from airplanes where we fly through forest fire plumes to measure what's coming off and what quantities. And so we combine all those to predict emissions of air pollutants from fires. And this is just an example of the output of my fire emissions model. This is showing you annual fine particulate matter emissions. So fine particulate matter, particulate matter with diameters less than 2.5 microns, they are small enough to be lodged deep into the lungs, and therefore they're a public health risk, and they're regulated by the National Ambient Air Quality Standards. And this is the annual for 11 annual emission estimates for 11 western U.S. states. And some things to note here is, one, not every year is the same. You have different wildfire seasons, hotter or wetter or colder years that would lead to more or less fires. One thing here, we had 2007, 2008, really high emissions. A lot of them actually came from the large-scale fires that we had across California during those years. And to put that into perspective, if we look at all of the fine particulate matter emitted from man-made or anthropogenic sources, this is from the EPA's National Emission Inventory database, you can see that fires on certain years are almost equivalent in magnitude to the man-made emissions. So they are significant and they are important. And then next we look at, okay, you're putting all these emissions into the air, how they impact air quality by impacting visibility, by having health impacts. I like to show this picture in every slide. This is actually a picture The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment has a camera on top of a building down near DU. It's just south of downtown Denver. And this is a picture showing of downtown Denver. This is off to the west. And you can see the date there. It's 3 o'clock on June 8, 2002. And this is what that picture looked like the very next afternoon. And that's when the plume from the Hayman Fire, Colorado's now second most expensive fire, came over the city and impacted the city for several days. So you can see there had big visibility impacts, high particulate concentrations, high other gas-based pollutant concentrations. And another example of how fires might impact air quality, I live in Boulder, I work in Boulder, and just recently we had the Four Mile Canyon fire, which is now the most expensive fire ever in Colorado, and it started actually on Labor Day just 2 months ago. And you can see here, this is actually a picture from the window of my office looking directly at the plume. And you can see the satellite images. If this is Denver down here, you can see the fire here and the plume reaching off across the eastern plains. They actually measured the smoke from the plumes all the way to Wisconsin from satellite images. This is, again, that camera from downtown Denver. And even though the plume didn't go directly over Denver, you can see this large hazy smoke that just filled up the whole region. And I'd like to show you this. This is data from a monitor of fine particulate matter in Boulder, just 3 days from the start of the fire, which happened around 11 o'clock on that Monday, September 6th. These are the concentrations over the course of the 3 days when the fire was burning. The point I'm going to make here is that it's not consistent across all the days. This is due to changes in the fire actually going off, whether it was being more severe or more suppressed. It also has to do with what the weather is doing, how large the area of the boundary layer where the fire is getting mixed, how high it is, how much air the pollutants can get distributed in. But one thing to note here is that here's the EPA 24-hour standard for PM 2.5. And you can see there was a lot of times during that three-day period where those the concentrations were much higher than that standard. And it was primarily, or it was caused by the fire and the fire emissions going over the city. Now, that's just one fire. There's been several studies looking across the region and across western United States, and they've shown that really wildfires control some of the background concentrations of particulate matter in the West. And they also show that fires influence ozone, that's the O3 ozone, which is actually another air pollutant regulated by the National Ambient Air Quality Standards. And the tricky thing about ozone is it's not directly emitted into the air. It's actually formed in the presence of sunlight, and you have a whole bunch of chemical reactions. So you actually have a lot of precursors to ozone in your fire plumes. And once they get up there mixed with all the anthropogenic emissions as well, you can get ozone formation. And we actually did a study of the 2007 California wildfires. They went on in September and October in California. You can see the red dots are satellite detections of those fires. And we ran a chemical model to look at what happened to those emissions once they went into the air. And what we found is the ozone health standard regulated by the National Ambient Air Quality Standard was actually violated three times more than it would if that air pollution wouldn't have occurred from the wildfires. And the other point to make here is these dots are the monitors where that ozone violation occurred. And you can see that many of them are not close to the fire. A lot of the exceedances happen downwind, where people might not even see the smoke from the fire, because ozone, you don't see it, it's a gas. And so you could have ozone pollution without being knowing that you're directly being impacted from that fire. And again, it's not a local issue. We've actually seen, like, these are the fires that went on in Northern California in 2008, captured by the MODA satellite data or satellite images. And they tracked the smoke plumes across the United States. I know that we've taken measurements on top of Steamboat Springs Ski Mountain in April and measured fire from plumes all the way from Siberia. And this is, again, so it's not a local issue. It's even a regional issue. There's inter-country transport. There's intercontinental transport. So it's something we have to consider on a larger scale. Now that we know that fires and climate are directly related, and I like to show this picture because a couple years ago, Tony Westerling, he's a professor at UC Merced, And he did this study looking at fires across the West United States. And a lot of people have seen that there's been increases in fires across West United States in the last 50 years. He shows statistically that there's more fires, the fires last longer, they're more severe, they have greater burn areas, and actually the fire season lasts longer. And a lot of people have thought that one of the biggest reasons for this to occur is because of our forest management strategies over the last 100 years. We've started Smokey the Bear in the early 1900s, suppress fires, don't let them burn. And as a result, a lot of the forests have actually grown up and have a lot more fuel growing underneath those trees, enabling when a fire goes off, it's going to go off much more dramatically than if it was having regular burns. So, but what Tony showed was that it's actually this phenomena that they saw in the data was actually directly related to the summertime and springtime temperatures. So what was happening was you would have an earlier snow melt, spring would come sooner, fuels and understory grasses and herbaceous material would grow up in those forests. They would actually dry out sooner in the season and then prolong the wildfire season. You'd also have more fuels to burn as a result of those summer and springtime temperatures. So the big point here was that fires were influenced by climate, not all as a result of fire suppression. And so what he's done is he's taken that information and trying to come up with prognostic models to predict fire risk into the future. And this is just one paper that he did a couple years ago using different climate scenarios to look at fire risk across the West United States. That's this regional risk, and then specifically for California. And you can see that in most scenarios, the risk is going up. Just to point out, Mary said she used the A2 scenario for her dengue projections. That's this red one. It's pretty much business as usual. To tell you the truth, the likelihood of this blue one happening is not really going to happen. But the question becomes now, you know, with this increased fire risk under what we believe the climate is going or climate is doing across the West, how will this change emissions ultimately impact air quality, impact our background air pollution concentrations, and ultimately impact public health as we have more populations moving to the Western states? You know, and I just wanted to touch on this, you know, I specifically talked to the Western United States because that's where a lot of the focus of my research has been going on. But this is actually happening across the globe. And I just put this up here as an example. It was in the news all through August about the large-scale wildfires going across in Moscow and Western Russia and impacting Moscow. And I thought this was pretty interesting. I found this BBC News headline that says that it's even the fires and the air quality issues and were partly to blame because of the climate issues and how hot it was that summer. And these fires led to really bad air quality and a lot of health issues across Western Europe and particularly in Moscow. So as we move forward, you know, our predictions right now are showing us that fires are estimated to increase. We'll most likely have, as long as they're large-scale wildfires, large emissions, you could have potential air quality impacts. So what are some ways to avoid or deal with that? And some of the things we're looking at is using different forest management strategies to reduce emissions. Right now, people are talking about forest thinning or using controlled burns as a means of having healthy forests, protecting our forests. And it's one thing to consider also, using those strategies could potentially reduce emissions and actually improve air quality impacts from fires. Because across the Western United States, many of the ecosystems need fire to be healthy. So is there a way that we could do that more effectively to protect air quality? We can look at the way that we're doing wild urban interface planning, where we put communities near areas that are prone to fire. And then we can educate populations about when and where and how they might be impacted by air quality issues from fires. And I know there's some information out there, but I know even during the California fires, I was getting phone calls from friends of mine saying, you know, it's still smoky. At what point can we go outside? At what point should we exercise? Should we leave? This kind of information was really, I think, should be put forth more. So to come back to my key points. Emissions of gases and particles from fires across the Western United States are significant, and they do have important impacts on our air quality. A lot of the air quality impacts have detrimental health impacts, and so air pollution from fires can lead to public health impacts. And as we move into the future, our current projections of climate predict that our fire risk, specifically across the Western United States, is going to increase. And with that, we would predict that there'll be more emissions could impact air quality. And then there's other potential ways to manage the issue that we do need to consider and do a lot more research on. So before I end, I just want to acknowledge I do a lot of this work with a group at NCAR where I work, the National Center for Atmospheric Research. And then there's a group, the U.S. Forest Service Fire Sciences Lab in University of Montana. They do a lot of work trying to understand exactly what comes from fires, and they're great. Bob Yokelson's one of the leads from the University of Montana. I work with a forest ecologist from Northern Arizona University, Matt Hertel, and Tony Westerling at UC Merced, and several people from NASA. So thank you very much.